Madness haunts humanity like no other condition. It represents the antithesis of what we consider uniquely human, our capacity for reason and self-control. Yet paradoxically, mental disturbance isn't merely civilization's opposite, but an integral part of it, a shadow that has followed human society since our earliest records. What makes this exploration particularly relevant today is how it illuminates our ongoing struggles with mental health treatment, stigma, and the fundamental question of what constitutes normal human behavior in an increasingly complex world. The history of madness reveals not just how we've treated the mentally ill, but how societies define themselves through what they reject and fear. When we examine madness across time, we're really examining ourselves, our values, anxieties, and the boundaries of what we consider human. In ancient societies, mental disturbance walked a tightrope between supernatural and natural explanations. The Hebrew Bible vividly illustrates this through King Saul, tormented by an evil spirit causing dramatic mood swings and violent outbursts after disobeying God. His condition, characterized by raving, depression, and homicidal impulses, was temporarily soothed by David's harp playing, though this musical therapy wasn't always effective. The line between divine inspiration and madness was particularly blurred. Biblical prophets exhibited behaviors that might appear psychotic to modern observers, while their contemporaries faced genuine uncertainty. Were these people insane or divinely inspired? The Hippocratics rejected divine explanations for mental illness, mocking those who attributed seizures to supernatural causes as charlatans. They recognized the brain as the source of emotions and behavior, a revolutionary concept for their time. After Rome's fall, Western Europe lost much of this classical medical knowledge as Christianity gained prominence. The sick sought cures at saints' graves and through exorcisms. Medieval culture viewed madness as divine punishment, exemplified by figures like Herod and reinforced in works like Dante's Divine Comedy, where madness was a punishment for sin. From the 11th century, contact with Arabic cultures sparked a medical renaissance. Universities emerged, medical guilds formed, and classical texts were translated. The printing press helped spread medical knowledge, while specialized institutions like London's Bethlehem Hospital, Bedlam, appeared. Though physicians now applied humoral medicine to treat madness, they carefully balanced medical and religious interpretations, with most patients remaining in their communities rather than institutions. The early modern period saw major shifts through the Renaissance, Protestant Reformation, and witch hunts. Both scholars and commoners accepted spirits as reality, debating only the natural-supernatural divide. Melancholia emerged as a key intellectual concern in the 1500s and 1600s. Physicians characterized it by restlessness, fear of disaster, and troubled imagination, attributing it to brain defects, systemic issues, or problems in the spleen and liver. While considered challenging to treat, remedies included diet, exercise, music, and traditional medicines. Among intellectuals, melancholia carried unique prestige. The Aristotelian tradition connected it to genius, notably in Burton's The Anatomy of Melancholy, 1621. Though medical and religious explanations intersected, Anglican criticism of Catholic and Puritan exorcisms as tragical comedies inadvertently advanced secular views, influencing works like Shakespeare's King Lear, much as modern society has reframed depression from stigma to creative sensitivity. By the late 17th century, asylums began making their presence known, with London's Bedlam featuring dramatic sculptures of madness. The mentally ill, previously grouped with the dependent poor, now received specialized attention as institutions spread across Europe. As society commercialized, a trade in lunacy emerged to handle disturbed relatives of respectable families, providing a way to remove the mentally ill from public view and protect family reputations. Literature capitalized on madhouses' dramatic potential. Eliza Haywood's The Distressed Orphan, 1726, created an enduring narrative, a virtuous heroine wrongly confined by scheming relatives, surrounded by madness until rescued by her lover. The common view that madness unleashed uncontrolled passions often justified harsh treatment of patients. However, a more humane moral treatment approach emerged across Europe and North America, viewing the mad as humans retaining some reason rather than creatures. While William Tuke and Philippe Pinel became associated with this movement, Pinel's famous Unchaining of the Insane was largely mythical. This new approach sparked the true Great Confinement, an age of widespread asylums that created specialized experts whose professional identity became bound to these institutions. The paradox of asylum reform emerged from exposing past horrors to create new institutions. Dorothea Dix uncovered shocking conditions in American almshouses where the mentally ill were beaten, naked, and confined in dark cellars and sheds. Western asylum models spread through imperial influence, with British colonies replicating their systems. In India, asylums primarily concealed mentally ill Europeans to maintain white superiority. Independent nations adopted these models too. Argentina built asylums to appear civilized to Europeans. The York Retreat became a prominent model, its architecture reflecting humanitarian principles through domestic design and subtle security features. Moral treatment posed a challenge for physicians seeking to medicalize mental illness, as its techniques originated from lay practitioners like Pinel. Yet within 25 years, medicine dominated mental health treatment, replacing diverse interpretations of madness with a purely medical view. By the 1850s, psychiatrists grew pessimistic as they failed to achieve promised cure rates and chronic patients accumulated. Benedict Augustin Morel's theory of degeneration reframed madness as biological inferiority rather than civilization's burden. Drawing on Lamarckian inheritance, mental illness became viewed as hereditary punishment for sin. This theory conveniently explains psychiatry's therapeutic failures by blaming the illness rather than the profession. Degenerationist thinking spawned harsh rhetoric, with psychiatrists labeling patients as tainted persons and moral refuse. This ideology fueled eugenics movements, leading to marriage bans and forced sterilization of the mentally unfit in America. Nazi Germany embraced these ideas with devastating consequences. Psychiatrists participated in sterilizing hundreds of thousands, while the T4 program murdered 250,000 mental patients through lethal injection and gas chambers disguised as showers. The 1920s-30s saw an onslaught of experimental somatic treatments, including barbiturate-induced sleep, spinal injections, and various toxic substances. Lobotomy and electroconvulsive therapy gained widespread use, profoundly impacting psychiatry's public image. By the 1960s, these aggressive therapies were largely abandoned and condemned as forms of psychiatric oppression. Literary critiques like Ken Kesey's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest challenged psychiatric practices, particularly electroshock therapy and lobotomy. The massive asylum system, housing 150,000 patients in England and Wales and 600,000 in the United States during the 1950s, was dismantled as chlorpromazine, Thorazine, or Largictil emerged. Psychotropic drugs revolutionized psychiatry and cultural perspectives on madness. Thorazine became a blockbuster drug, while minor tranquilizers like Miltown, Valium, and Librium recast everyday troubles as psychiatric conditions. By 1956, tranquilizer use reached 5% of Americans monthly. Despite these advances, those with serious mental illness still face grim outcomes, dying up to 25 years younger than average, a widening gap. Madness endures both as individual suffering and social phenomenon beyond mere biology, remaining a shadow of civilization that reveals our fragility and the delicate boundary between reason and its absence.